So I've got to start with, I'm curious, how did you hear about the film being picked up for this film festival? Was it by phone? Was it by email? How did you hear?
You mean how did I know? I get an email. You mean at this festival? The festival?
Yeah, for the one in New York.
Yeah, I got an email.
You know, with
the film was released. Let's say the premiere was more than a year ago, so. There are festivals all the time, so
can you talk a bit about some of the places? I mean, I know Karlova and Jerusalem.
Karlovy Vary, yes. Karlovy Vary, it's really a friendly festival for me because I won there the first prize in my previous film 8 years ago, so I really. Sorry.
Oh, keep going. I can hear you.
Okay, so this film was premiered in Karlovy Vary, which is a really nice city in the Czech Republic. I think it's the second old festival in Europe after Venice or something like this. It's really a huge festival. And the main actor got the first prize. Moshe Falkenflik got the best actor prize. I think the second festival was Jerusalem, which in Israel it's the biggest festival. It was received there very well, got the audience award and two other awards. And then we went to Toronto. You know, of course, the festival. I think it's the most important festival in North America. This was the American premiere. And from this stage, we went, I think, to maybe something like 50 or 60 festivals. So we lost count. From time to time, we are going with the film. That's it, more or less.
I would love to know the TIFF experience. I know one of your films in the past has gotten to Sundance, but with Toronto being such a huge festival, what was that experience like knowing the film was going to be at TIFF?
In Toronto, in a way, for the producers, it's the most important festival because all the buyers and the distribution is going to see the film. From director or an artist point of view, I truly prefer smaller festivals, more intimate festivals, because you feel in Toronto, you feel you're lost. You're lost and you're... it's like the combination between huge Hollywood films and small art house films. It's not nice all the time. This festival... It's like you're doing many festivals at the same time. One festival for films from Hollywood, other festival for films that won other prizes outside, let's say in Cannes, Venice, festival like this. And the third festival is like small films, art house films. So you feel a little bit lost. But the good thing is that the audience is very good. The audience in this is excellent. The Q&A is very good. And you feel vibration. So, but definitely I prefer smaller festivals. tell the truth.
As far as getting to, I know you work with Boz before as a cinematographer, where he was your DP. Having him jump into the director's chair with you, how much fun was that? That seems like something fresh and new to have, you know, a split directorship. It must have been new eyes to look through.
Yes. I will start, even when he was my DP, he was more than a DP. We read together the script, we analyzed it, and he has a lot of things to say about the script. And I changed it because his point of view. So he always was more than a director of photography for me. But you're right. There is a division between director and photographer, and it was confusing to work with him together at the start. We have a good chemistry, we work together very good, and we see things, a lot of time we see things the same, but still, I am telling for myself, from my point of view, it was, you know, it's an ego thing. Mm. When you're a director, you're God. And when there's someone with you, it's difficult for the ego, I think, more than anything else. So for me, to accept another director was more working with my ego than anything else.
The whole movie, I tried to figure out where you shot it. You guys do a wonderful job of not necessarily showing, I think, parts of the city where we could figure out exactly where you were shooting. Do you mind if I ask where you shot? Because I couldn't figure it out. It was so beautiful.
Okay, I will tell you two interesting facts. The main location was flat, his own flat.
Oh wow!
Boaz is ultra religious. I don't know if you know. Maybe you've heard of it. He's ultra religious, so the flat was very typical to religious people. The outdoor shooting takes place in his neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
Usually, there's a problem to shoot outside in neighborhood because they don't like it to see cameras and all the equipment and all extras and stuff like this. But our set was very small. The director of photography was also Boaz, who is ultra religious. The main actor looks he's ultra religious as well. It was like a natural thing for us to shoot in Bnei Brak, in the middle of the extreme ultra-Orthodox areas. Nobody interrupted us. So outside, the outdoors were in Bnei Brak. The flat was Boaz's place. The places where the wedding takes place, they are also the real thing. It's like the small places that ultra-religious weddings are taking place. So the sets are really the real thing. It's not like we changed a lot of things. We had a lot of location tours before, and we chose exactly the places that we didn't need to make any changes.
Wow, that's incredible. One of the things I love about the wedding scenes, the music, can you talk a bit about the writing of the songs, about where the name for the band came up, High Beams?
Yes. First of all, the band, the three members of the band, they are not actors. They are really musicians. So everything you see is real. The drummer is playing the drums, the guitar is the guitar, the bass is the bass. They perform the music. Nothing is added. The only actor is the main actor, Moshe, and we took him for a few months to learn how to sing like a rock star, and he's also singing, so everything is natural. We didn't add anything. We recorded it, of course, after the shootings, but with the actors themselves. As I told you, three of them are not actors. They are non-actors. They play, they act themselves. So, this is the first thing. The music, the musician is Shachtel Moody. He's one of Israeli really top musicians.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing rock music as well as Jewish religious music. He combines them. So he was the perfect person to write the music. Most of the music is well-known Hasidic songs, but he wrote two songs are original. Two of the songs are original.
Very cool. Who came up with High Beams?
The lyrics, the music was a Shachtel Moody music. The Shachtel Moody, the lyrics and the music as well. The name of the group, I don't remember. Maybe Boz, maybe me. High Beams is a notion in Hasidic Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it sounds like a name of a rock group, because also just lights, high beams of cars and stuff like this. So it's a combination between a religious notion and something that is non-religious. So that's the meaning of the name.
Kind of a perfect, with Moshe's character being religious, it's perfect with the guys not being religious, so it almost like their name became even more meaningful.
Yes, exactly. By the way, Moshe, who is an actor, of course, but in a way, his character, the character of Moshe himself, is really close to the character that he's acting. Because Moshe studied acting in 99, I think. And he was the most promising actor in the school and afterwards, but he became religious and he cut himself from being an actor for, let's say, 12 years, something like that. And now it's his comeback. So in a way, he's more or less like the character that he's acting. He was a rock and roll star, become religious and drop it, throw it away.
Wow, very cool.
So in a way, also he has some documentary flavor, let's call it. Although he's a professional actor, of course. His biography resembles the biography of the character.
I'd love to know, obviously the title, Redemption, but you name Emily, the daughter, that as well. Was there any significance in her name being Redemption for Moshe or for just as a point?
Of course. First of all, in Israel, in Hebrew, the name Geula is Redemption, is a common name for a girl. So, it's a common name, a really common name, although it has such a meaning. But of course we use it because sometimes, okay, the beginning of the plot was the Ulla being ill, sick. So sometimes when you're suffering, when you're having something very bad, it's an excuse to change yourself. So in a way, her being still is the beginning of the redemption for the hero, for the main character. And of course, it's the fact that she's not judging anything is also part of the change. She's not judging his friends, she's not judging everything. So this, her being naive, is a thing that Moshe really needs, because he's, in the beginning of the film, he's judging everything, he's very hard with himself, but he becomes softer and softer, and I think it's the influence of the child. So in a way, she is his redemption. The girl is his redemption. Her nature and the illness as well.
I love that you guys open the movie with a bit of a musical touch, and I think you end the film with a little bit of music as well. Can you talk about the choices you made to bookend the film, the beginning and the ending? I like the fact we don't know exactly all that's happening in the end of where it's going, but I'd love to know, you know, did you always have that opening sequence and the end sequence?
No. We found it out while editing the film.
Mm.
At the beginning, we felt that the only music is going to be the songs, the rock and the Hasidic songs. And then we find out that, in a way, if you want to emphasize the change, we need a music which is not a song at the end. So that's the reason for the last 2 minutes has music, score, music, not a song, but music, not a so in the beginning, it also was part of the editing process. I think that the musician told us that he feels that we need to have a rock and roll rock number right at the start to make this contradiction between the ultra orthodox street and the main character and the rock music. So he chose for us a rock song, and we made a new version out of it. So it was not our intentions before, but some sort of a process while editing.
Well, I loved it. So good job. Yossi, I'd love to know, you've dived into TV as well, in Israel, but as far as you as a director, what's next for you? Are you going to continue to make films like this? Are you going to try something new, or are you diving into TV even more?
I try to make a living, and in Israel it's very difficult to make only films. So I think that I have like 8 TV serials that I wrote and directed, and 4 films. So I hope I will have an option to keep this balance between films and TV, because in Israel it's almost impossible to make a living only from films. If you're only a filmmaker, you must teach the university or schools, and I don't want to teach, so I'm doing two TV series, one film. This is more or less the balance for me, and I love both, of course. I hope I will have another film, let's say, I start to work in a few months from now, but now I'm finishing a TV series, a new one, in the editing room.
How, with that in mind, do you find yourself more ambitious on your films or more ambitious on the TV side of things as far as, like, trying different things you haven't done?
Israeli TV is very young, okay? So, at the beginning, let's say 20 years ago, there was only one channel, okay? Only one channel that is making TV. So, at the when I started, I can be very ambitious because in television, because there was no tradition, there was no right way how to make TV in Israel, and it's changing a bit now. It's commercial TV as in other places, so it's more difficult to try new things in TV. I find it harder and harder, but we have the public channel. It's also new now. The public channel is changed, so I think it's the last option doing the non-commercial TV. Or I don't know. No, I won't call it non-commercial because you want to show it to a lot of people. You don't want to do only art. But the public channel is the only place that you can try experiments in Israel. So I hope to work there, not in the other channel.
Very cool. I'd love to know. I know you said you had four scripts. As far as your writing, how has your films impacted your writing? Do you find yourself writing quicker, writing more now than you did in the beginning?
I will tell you the truth. I'm writing more because I need to provide a family. I don't have the privilege to tell you I'm writing faster now because I'm better. I'm writing faster because I need to make more money.
Well, you'll see. I wish you the best as far as the money, but as far as what I've been able to see of your work, I think it's beautiful. I loved this movie, and Restoration was wonderful. I hope you keep making films and work on TV as well.
Thank you very much, Scott. Thank you very much.
Yossi, I will let you go now, but thank you for the time. And I hope you enjoy your time in New York here in a week. And once again, wonderful movie.
Thank you. You can call Boaz now. I think that Saturday, it's dark outside, so you have an interview with him as well.
I think he's wanting tomorrow so he can be well rested.
Okay.
But Yossi, safe travels when you guys come over here back to America, and hopefully we'll meet one day in the future, my friend.